For 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, trying to bring you a wide variety of really good information all about you and your health. We are here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can tune in next week for Kevin's discussion with Dr. Joseph Lamb on nutritional approaches to effective weight loss. Good way to start the year. This show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com, and you can visit the site to hear previous radio shows. Just a reminder, it's time to take advantage of Village Green's big winter sale now until December 31st, so you don't have very long. 35% off pathway products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. You can visit the Village Green site or the store on Cedar Lane for expert advice on supplements. And Village Green is your resource for questions about your health. They carry a superior supplement line from many manufacturers and their own pathway products. Now, we're very proud to have Dr. Alan Gaby with us today. He's our guest, and we're going to talk about making sense of nutritional studies. Just to give you a little bit of background on Dr. Gaby, he received his undergraduate degree from Yale University and his MS in biochemistry from Emory University and his MD from the University of Maryland. He was in private practice for 17 years, specializing in nutritional medicine, and I believe that's when I met Dr. Gaby. He is past president of the American Holistic Medical Association, and he gave expert testimony to the White House Commission on Complementary and Alternative Medicine on the cost-effectiveness of nutritional supplements. He is the author of Preventing and Reversing Osteoporosis, The Doctor's Guide to Vitamin B6, and the co-author of the Patient's Book of Natural Healing. He's written numerous scientific papers in the field of nutritional medicine, and he has been the contributing medical editor for the Townsend Letter for Doctors since 1985, and he's a contributing editor for Alternative Medicine Review. So, Dr. Gaby, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Dana. It's nice to be speaking to you. My old stomping ground is Baltimore, and I live up in New Hampshire now.
Well, we're glad to have you back via the radio, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say. I'm a fan of yours and the Townsend Letter for Doctors. Your columns are just fascinating. So let's get started. I love the subject that we're talking about, making sense of nutritional studies. Let's get rolling on that.
Well, it's pretty complicated, but part of the problem is that the press comes out with very shallow interpretations of research, and part of that is because the press releases that are put out are shallow. And I'll give you one example. Recently, there was a report that said eggs are bad for you. I mean, you know, that's the take-home message. And the reason they said that is because they did a study where they asked people how many eggs they ate, and then they correlated whether they had atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries. And they found that people who ate more eggs had more atherosclerosis. So they concluded that eggs are not good for you. There are a couple of problems with that. Number one is this is typically what we call an observational study. They look at certain behaviors or lifestyle factors, and then they correlate that with various outcomes. But anybody who does research knows that observational studies do not prove cause and effect. In the example of eggs, there are probably many differences between people who eat a lot of eggs and people who don't eat a lot of eggs. And it may be some of those other differences, rather than the fact that they eat eggs, that lead to the ultimate outcome of more hardening of the arteries. So let's look at actually at the chemistry of eggs and how it would be expected to be in the human body. Eggs are a wonderful source of many nutrients. It's the best quality protein of any food that we know. So people who need protein, eggs are a great source. In addition, it contains various vitamins and minerals, and particularly something called choline, which is a lesser-known B vitamin. Choline is very important for brain function, and particularly in pregnant women, they need that choline so that their baby will have normal brain development. And there's even some evidence that people, adults, do better with extra choline. In addition, it contains something called lutein. Lutein is a carotenoid similar to beta-carotene. And lutein has now been fairly clearly shown to help prevent macular degeneration of the retina, which is one of the most common causes of blindness in older people. So eating eggs clearly has certain benefits. Eggs also contain cholesterol, though, and that's where people have become afraid of it. High serum cholesterol is associated with heart disease, and in animal studies, as far back as over 100 years ago, it was shown that if you feed animals high cholesterol diets, that they develop hardening of the arteries. The thing is, it took about 70 years to figure out that it wasn't actually the cholesterol that was doing that. Cholesterol itself is actually pretty safe, but when the cholesterol becomes oxidized, and cholesterol is a very unstable molecule, and if you just let it sit out in room air, it readily becomes oxidized. So oxidized cholesterol is very toxic to the arteries, and pure cholesterol is not. So at least based on the animal studies and what we know about what causes atherosclerosis in humans, you do not want to be consuming oxidized cholesterol. And how do you get that in your diet? Well, a couple different ways. You take butter and let it sit out on the table for a couple days. You're going to have plenty of oxidized cholesterol. If you take an egg, the yolk contains all of the cholesterol. The white does not contain any. If you poach or boil that egg, then the cholesterol stays inside the yolk. It is sequestered from air, and therefore oxidation of the cholesterol would be minimal. On the other hand, if you break the yolk during the cooking, as would occur when scrambling the egg, then you have heat and oxygen and cholesterol all mixing together, and you would form a fairly large amount of oxidized cholesterol. So although there have not been any studies comparing the different cooking methods of eggs, based on what we know from biochemistry, it would be logical to assume that long-term consumption of scrambled eggs is probably not good for you, whereas long-term consumption of boiled or poached eggs is probably not causing heart disease and will give you the various benefits of the nutrients. So I'll be the first to say that this is an interim analysis, but at least it provides some context from these studies that come out in the headlines. Eggs will kill you. Vitamins will kill you. Things like that. It's just, you got to go in and actually read the articles and see what they mean.
Well, that was a good description, and I'm always reminded that the cholesterol, as you mentioned, has a choline for building a baby's brain, and the old wives' tale, of course, was to eat yolks when you're pregnant, and I still have patients whose doctors tell them their increasing cholesterol while pregnant is dangerous to the infant. Well, that's right. What the body does. Almost a 30% increase should be expected in pregnancy. You're building a baby and a baby's brain. You need that cholesterol.
Well, you need the choline. Sure, the cholesterol is also a precursor molecule. The body cannot make steroid hormones without cholesterol. So we're talking about vitamin D, made in the skin from cholesterol. We're talking about estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, which has a number of health promoting effects. And if the body is too low in cholesterol, you can't make adequate amounts of these hormones, and your health will suffer. In addition, the liver manufactures cholesterol, so if you're not getting it in the diet, you're going to make it anyway. So, cholesterol in oxidized form in food is dangerous, but pure cholesterol does not seem to be.
Well, that's good news. You have such an elegant way of explaining what seems complex, both to professionals and lay people. What about the headline, "Are Our Vitamins Killing Us?" I'm reminded, Alan, I tell my patients 160,000 to 190,000 deaths from medications a year and about 0 to 10 on supplements. And most of those are when the toddlers get mom's iron pills and no one has caught that they have swallowed those little candy-looking pills. So if we've got risks, the risks are pretty small with supplements.
Well, the question is, do in fact we have risks, which I'll address. It's interesting to remember for those of us that have been in the field for 30 years or more, in the old days they used to say, all you're getting is expensive urine because it just comes out in the urine, and that was the big joke back then. Ha ha, very funny. And then my colleague Jonathan Wright was debating a Food and Drug Administration official, and he made the exact point that you just made, that there are numerous deaths from drugs and not a single death from a vitamin or a mineral. And the FDA official countered that and said, yes, in fact, there have been deaths from minerals. Lead poisoning is an extremely important cause of death. So that's a mineral, lead. Okay, well, yeah, but how about magnesium and all that kind of stuff? So there have been a couple studies in the past few years that have led to the conclusions in the headlines that vitamins are harmful. One of those was an observational study. If you remember, I said before, observational studies do not prove cause and effect. They merely show associations. And in this study, the headline said that women who took a multivitamin long-term had a 6% higher death rate than women who did not take a multivitamin. And this was all over the news. Vitamins will kill you. And if you actually read the study, nowhere in the study did they actually report the death rate. They reported something called the adjusted death rate, and these are epidemiologists. And with all due respect to chiropractors and osteopaths, epidemiologists like to do more adjustments than those two professions combined. So what did they find? They found when you adjust the data for age and caloric intake, there's actually no difference in mortality among women who take the vitamins and people who didn't. It was only after they began adjusting for multiple factors, the amount of exercise they did, whether they took hormone replacement therapy, and various other factors, whether they had diabetes, high blood pressure, and things like that. Only after they made all of those adjustments did they show a 6% increase in mortality in the vitamin takers. The problem is that in that study, every one of those comparisons, the vitamin users were in the healthier category than the non-users. For example, they had less diabetes, less high blood pressure, they exercised more, they ate more fruits and vegetables. So what epidemiologists do is they make an artificial adjustment in the mortality rate, in effect punishing the healthier people for not having these bad lifestyle factors by artificially increasing their death rate.
Well,
and it's not clear whether you're allowed to do that.
Yes. Well, thank you for that good explanation. And for those of you who have just tuned in with us, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more interesting information on making sense of nutritional studies with Alan Gaby.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body. And this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Old Man Winter is on the way, but you can weather the storm by taking advantage of Village Green Apothecary's big year-end sale. Now through the end of the year, you can save 35% off Pathway Nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Stock up on supplements to fight colds and flu, and pick up some healthy living gifts for your friends and family, too. Visit Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, or online at myvillagegreen.com, or call us at 301-530-0800. Our big year-end sale will blow you away.
Welcome back, listeners, to the second segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. This show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can tune in next week for Kevin's discussion with Dr. Joseph Lamb on nutritional approaches to effective weight loss, a good way to start the year. And the show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com. Don't forget, big sale, Village Green's winter sale, now until December 31st. 35% off Pathway products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Now, we've been talking about making sense of nutritional studies with Alan Gaby. We have had some very interesting breakdowns of what a study says, or what the news media says a study is reporting, and what is actually the truth. And we were talking about the headline, Are Our Vitamins Killing Us? And Dr. Gaby, you did such a wonderful job of explaining that. Let's expand on that a little bit more.
Well, thank you. Before the break, I was talking about how they artificially adjusted the death rate in this study because vitamin users have various health characteristics that would predict lower mortality. So in order to compensate for that, they pushed their death rate up artificially, and that's how they came up with a 6% increase in mortality. They didn't explain in the study how they made the adjustments, so it's possible that they over-adjusted. In addition, there's a very important factor that they did not take into account, and that is, why were the people taking the vitamins? In science, they call that confounding by indication. That's just a scientific term for taking into account why people are doing something. And having practiced nutritional medicine for many years, I know why a lot of people take vitamins. They're tired, their joints hurt, they've been feeling depressed. Both of their parents died of heart disease, and they read a study that said maybe vitamins will prevent heart disease. So these are all factors that are associated with poorer health. And some of those factors might predict an increase in mortality. So if they had asked these people why they were taking the vitamins, then they might have adjusted their mortality rate downward, just as they had pushed it upward for certain reasons, and they didn't do any of that. So the bottom line is here we have a study that really didn't mean anything, and the only reason we're talking about it is because it was all over the news and it scared people. When that study came out, we were getting phone calls right and left. What am I going to tell my patients? This study is horrible. Well, that's basically what it showed, nothing.
Well, unfortunately, when people read that, they're not sophisticated enough to ask the right questions. That's why I like your article in the Townsend Letter. And while we're talking about what you're writing, let's talk about your book, Nutritional Medicine. A very, very thorough book. 15,000 references, Alan. How do you do it?
Well, it weighs 8.5 pounds. And basically, in the 1970s, I acquired some calling, and I'm not sure how I acquired that, but I decided it was going to be my life's work to learn about nutritional medicine and teach people, particularly practitioners, what I learned. So since then, I have collected articles, summarized them, keyworded them, and after about 25 years of this, I collated all the information, and including my personal clinical experience with patients, and came up with a very large textbook that teaches people how to use diet and nutritional supplements and bioidentical hormones as either an addition to or an alternative to the conventional drug and surgery approach. And a lot of holistic-oriented practitioners use this, naturopathic doctors use it, and a lot of the lay public, even though it's a medical book, have found it useful as a reference to keep on their shelves so that they know what's available for them and their families. The book is called Nutritional Medicine, and my website is www.drgaby.com. That's DocTorGaby, drgaby.com. And there are sample chapters up there for non-practitioners who want to see if it's something that they would find useful.
Yes, I was looking at the table of contents. It is the perfect text. Between the overviews of the fundamentals of nutritional medicine, diet, etc., you go into the therapeutic agents and cover the nutrients, other therapeutic agents. Then you go into conditions and break it down quite nicely. I really like the way this book is put together.
Well, thank you.
And
so
you,
let's see. We were talking about the vitamin and mineral studies. There was another one that came out more recently, and this was a two-part study. One of them showed a small but statistically significant decrease in cancer incidence in male physicians who took a multivitamin. This was one of these randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trials, and they followed the doctors for about 11 years. Half of them were randomly assigned to consume Centrum Silver, which is a low-potency multivitamin with a couple minerals, and the other half were assigned to receive a placebo. And after about 11 years, there was an 8% reduction in cancer incidence, which was statistically significant, and then there was no effect on the incidence of heart disease. And both of these studies were reported in the news. The one most recently was that vitamins don't prevent heart disease. So, you know, there's a lot of research over the years suggesting that vitamins do prevent heart disease, or at least they reduce the risk to some extent. So, as usual, I looked at the study to try to find what was real and what requires comment. And one of the things, this was actually a very well-done study. The design was good. The results were very clear-cut. But then you got to go and look at what did they actually give these volunteers. Centrum Silver contains modest amounts of various vitamins, and it also contains, I'm going to read off the list of extraneous chemicals in there, some of which the listeners probably have never heard of, and some of which sound a little scary. It contains cross-povidone, butylated hydroxytoluene, toluene, that's BHT, blue number 2, red number 40, yellow number 6, polyethylene glycol, polyvinyl alcohol, aluminum silicate, sodium benzoate, talc, and titanium dioxide. Now, those are all the things in a multivitamin. I don't know what was in the placebo because it didn't say. But there's no reason we should be putting a lot of those things into people's bodies. And if any of them are harmful, it might eliminate a potential benefit of the multivitamin. In addition, there was another potential confounding factor in this study. Centrum Silver contains 15 milligrams of zinc, which is fine, but we know that long-term use of zinc can deplete copper. And it's very clear from animal studies that copper deficiency leads to heart disease. So the copper intake of humans in America is probably 50% less than it was 50 years ago. So there may be some marginal copper deficiency in the American diet. And then if we add on 15 milligrams a day of zinc with no copper, we could have long-term subtle depletion of copper, which could increase the risk of heart disease, and that could potentially negate any beneficial effect of the vitamins. So if you look at Centrum Silver, in fact, it does contain copper. And it took me a while to find this out. I had to call up the company that makes Centrum, and it took them 2 weeks for them to get back to me. But copper in Centrum Silver was in the form of cupric oxide for 70% of the time that this study was being done. And later they changed it to cupric sulfate. But the cupric oxide, which is the form that was present for most of the time the study was done, is not absorbable by humans. And this has been clearly shown. And that's why they changed it, presumably. So here you have long-term use of zinc balanced with a form of copper that cannot be absorbed, and therefore the possibility of zinc-induced copper deficiency needs to be considered. The bottom line here is, yes, indeed, this study did not show a reduction in heart disease, but if we were to use other multivitamin and mineral products, particularly ones that contain magnesium. Magnesium is the most important heart-protective nutrient available that I can think of. Then there's a good possibility that we would show heart protection.
Now, one of the problems in these one-a-days is that nutrients that are macronutrients like magnesium occupy more space, so they can't have what I would consider, and likely you consider, sufficient levels of magnesium.
That's right, and I don't recall specifically. I don't think Centrum contains any magnesium, but if it does, as you say, it would be less than 10% of the recommended dietary allowance. So most of the good multivitamins and minerals are 3 a day, 4 a day, or 6 a day products in order to get adequate amounts of magnesium and calcium in there.
Right, and I explained to people when they're horrified, I said, well, if we start out with a one a day, I'm going to have to then add calcium and magnesium. They're occupying, of 6 capsules, they're probably occupying 4 or 5. People don't understand that the vitamins are minuscule compared to these macro minerals.
Exactly.
Let's talk about fish oil, because every time, it seems to me, Dr. Gaby, that every time there are articles about the benefits of a given nutrient, fish oil being one, then it's followed by how dangerous it is. And we'll probably have to just start covering this and complete it in the next segment. So let's talk about fish oil.
Okay, well, there are probably hundreds of studies that have shown beneficial effects of fish oil on heart disease, preventing heart disease in the first place, or people who already have heart disease, either preventing heart rhythm disturbances, or people that have had bypass or angioplasty, preventing the need for recurrent procedures. This is all over the research, and as a matter of fact, the American Heart Association strongly recommends that people use fish oil as part of their heart disease prevention program. Against that backdrop, there was a report that came out a couple of months ago that questioned the value of fish oil. They weren't saying that it was harmful, but they did what's called a meta-analysis. A meta-analysis is where you take a whole bunch of studies and you combine them, you add all the patients and put them all together, and you do a pooled analysis so that statistically you can get a more reliable effect. And what they reported is, in this pooled analysis of 20 double-blind, placebo-controlled trials, there was no reduction in mortality, and there was no reduction in heart disease risk in people who took fish oil compared with those who took the placebo. And this was, again, all over the news. And if you actually look at the study and you read what they did, and then you go look up some of the individual studies from which they got these 20 studies to combine, you find that it's much more complicated than that, and that the evidence still strongly supports a beneficial effect of fish oil. So I can get into that in more detail if you'd like after the break.
Yes, let's do, because we talk about this subject quite frequently on the show. And if you just tuned in, you're with the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM. I'm Dana Lake, and the show is brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more interesting information on making sense of nutritional studies with Alan Gaby.
Whether you're an active baby boomer, a weekend warrior, or a professional athlete, Boron's Arnicare Gel is the perfect solution to all life's little injuries. Arnicare, which contains the healing benefits of homeopathic Arnica Montana, can be used safely to treat muscle pain, stiffness, swelling, and bruising due to minor injuries, overexertion, and surgery. The non-greasy gel has no artificial colors, perfumes, or parabens. Arnicare is also available in cream and ointment formulas. You can find Arnicare at Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Visit Arnicare on the web at arnicare.com.
New from Garden of Life, Vitamin Code Raw Multivitamins. They are the only raw multivitamin to include live enzymes and probiotics, amino acids, and antioxidants. They are gluten and dairy free with no soy allergens. Vitamin Code is uncooked, untreated, unadulterated, and binder free. Vitamin Code Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Go beyond vitamins and minerals. Get the code, Vitamin Code. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
It's a one tiny pearl that delivers big acidophilus, 900% more. Get acidophilus pearls from Enzymatic Therapy. Each little pearl-shaped capsule makes a big impact, delivering up to 900% more live probiotics to the intestine than other products. This revolutionary product aids digestion, supports a healthy immune system, and is perfect for travelers who want to enhance intestinal health. This season, make sure to take the pearls that give you big acidophilus. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why a cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, listeners, to the third segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro, and we try to bring you a lot of really good information all about you and your health. Please do tune in next Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and listen to Kevin's discussion on nutritional approaches to effective weight loss. Now, we've been talking about making sense of nutritional studies with Dr. Alan Gaby, and we just talked about the fish oil issues, and I'd like to get into the more of the fish oil, and then let's talk about calcium, because we get a lot of questions as practitioners about how much calcium to take. So let's complete our discussion on the fish oils.
Okay. We were talking about the meta-analysis that included 20 double-blind studies. There was a total of about 69,000 patients that found, or that they stated that they found, no reduction in heart disease or heart disease-related deaths, or total mortality. When you actually look at the report, in the combined analysis, there were 9% fewer heart disease-related deaths. There were 4% fewer deaths due to any cause. And then there was a reduction in certain types of cardiac events, such as heart attacks, et cetera. None of these improvements were statistically significant. So the researchers concluded that there was no effect. And a statistician will tell you that that is not the correct conclusion. If you have a 9% reduction in heart disease-related deaths that was not statistically significant, the correct conclusion is not that there was no effect. The correct conclusion is that there was a 9% reduction in deaths and that we are less than 95% sure that that effect is real. So when someone finds an effect that is not statistically significant, that is not the same as finding that there was no effect. And researchers make this mistake all of the time. We are not sure from this meta-analysis that fish oil works, but we certainly should not conclude that it didn't work when there was a reduction in the mortality and a reduction in certain other events. So let's go in and look at a couple of the studies. It turns out that some of the studies showed a very powerful, highly statistically significant benefit, and other studies showed nothing or even a non-significant trend towards a worse outcome. When you combine these studies, some of them cancel each other out, and that's why they did not find statistical significance at the end. But I want to highlight two of these studies. One of them had over 18,000 participants, and that is more than one quarter of all of the people in the meta-analysis. So that would carry a lot of weight because the number of people in the study weights the study according to how much it'll be taken into account in the meta-analysis. So 27% of the people in this study, in this meta-analysis, were in this one study, and this was done in Japan. And in Japan, there was very high fish consumption. Research on omega-3 fatty acids have clearly shown that the benefits occur with fairly low doses, and that if you increase the dose, you don't get any further benefit. So here we have people in Japan already consuming enough fish oil to reduce their heart disease risk, and then we pile some additional fish oil on top, and it doesn't do them any good, which is what we would have expected in the first place. So 27% of the people in the meta-analysis really need to be taken out because they didn't apply to a situation where people are not taking fish oil. Another study, the placebo in this study was, believe it or not, olive oil. And olive oil has been clearly demonstrated to have heart protective effects. So if you do a study that says that fish oil is no more beneficial than olive oil, which was the placebo, that does not necessarily mean that fish oil is ineffective. Maybe both fish oil and olive oil are effective. So when you actually go in and look at individual studies, you find out that they probably should not have combined all of these studies. They should have looked at what are the factors that lead to a better outcome, what are the factors that lead to a worse outcome, and we should focus on the ways to get the better outcome, and then we would get better health for all of our patients.
You know, this is fascinating. Why is there such misinformation if this is coming from the scientific community? And is there research bias behind some of it?
Well, there's a couple factors. Number one, the scientists themselves often do not understand the potential of nutrition. So if someone comes from Mars and looks at a study that's not statistically significant, they say, well, I'm not impressed. But then if you look at all the research that shows that it is, someone such as myself or you or others interested in the field realize that there are benefits of fish oil, and then we're motivated to go and look at why they got these negative results. So that's one factor, that people are not trained in nutrition. The other factor is that there is research bias because sometimes the pharmaceutical industry will fund a study that will make their products look better by comparison. One of my favorite examples was St. John's wort, as a treatment for depression. There are over 20 double-blind studies showing that St. John's wort relieves mild to moderate depression compared with placebo. And there are a couple studies that showed that it didn't work. One of the studies was funded by Pfizer. Pfizer makes Zoloft, which is an antidepressant, which does about $2 billion a year. And it says right in the small print of this study, the study was funded and designed by Pfizer. And they looked at people who had not responded to other treatments. And even though there were more improvements in the St. John's wort group than in the placebo group, the absolute level of improvement was fairly low in both groups. So they concluded that it didn't work. What you really should have concluded is if you take a group of people who don't respond to anything, that they're not going to get better. And that's really what the conclusion should have been. But this was on the front cover of, I believe, Time magazine. St. John's wort doesn't work.
Those absolutes, I'm always leery when I see an absolute statement like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dead giveaway. Well, what about this calcium issue?
Well, yeah, calcium is one of many essential nutrients. Many of us get enough calcium in our diet, and some of us don't. When you ingest a large amount of calcium by itself, at least in animal studies, it's less clear in humans, but it's possible in humans. When you ingest a large amount of calcium, you block the absorption of magnesium, and you can create a subtle magnesium deficiency. The American diet is much more deficient in magnesium than it is in calcium, and magnesium has multiple beneficial effects in the body, including preventing osteoporosis and preventing heart disease. So when we look at studies that show that large doses of calcium by themselves have adverse effects, then the possibility exists that if we were to take magnesium along with it, that we wouldn't see this. So let's go look at these studies for one that showed that people who took calcium had a higher rate of heart attacks than people who didn't. That was published about 2 years ago in the British Medical Journal. It was a combined analysis of 15 randomized placebo-controlled trials that mainly looked at osteoporosis. Some of them looked at whether calcium could prevent colon cancer. None of the studies were originally designed to assess whether heart attacks are influenced. What they did is they went back. They did a retrospective analysis, looking back, or they call it post hoc or retrospective, after the fact. And they found that people who were assigned to receive calcium had 30% more heart attacks than people who were assigned to receive placebo. Now, we know that when you do a retrospective analysis, that sometimes you find things that aren't real. And based on the statistics there, it was possible that all of this was just by chance. And therefore, we need to do a new study where one of the outcome measures before the fact is heart disease risk. And so at this point, all we can say is that there's a possibility that if we take calcium in large doses by itself, that is without magnesium, that it might be harmful for the heart. Also, though, there's a study that came out that reanalyzed that research, and what they found is that people who take calcium are more likely to get gastrointestinal side effects, like acute abdominal pain, constipation, bloating, and things like that, and that when they look at people who reported that they had a heart attack, some of these people were admitted to the hospital for acute abdominal pain, which is the same as rule-out heart attack in many cases. And some of these people are put in the coronary care unit, evaluated for heart attack. Turns out that a lot of them didn't have a heart attack. But when they get discharged, and this includes nurses and other people, they erroneously believe that they had a heart attack because they were hospitalized. And even though the doctor told them at the end you didn't have it, they report in the research that they did. And what they found is that people who took calcium had a much higher incidence of gastrointestinal side effects and a much higher incidence of falsely reporting that they had a heart attack, when in fact it was due to intestinal symptoms. And that false reporting of heart attacks accounts for approximately 50% of that alleged increase in heart attacks in calcium users. The other 50% may be real, may be a statistical quirk. We don't know at this point. But the bottom line here is that nutrients work in the body as a team, and that we shouldn't be taking large doses of single nutrients in most cases.
Well, good advice. And I'm reminded of a patient who in her late 30s had an MI, and they found no plaque, they found no basis for it, and put her on a statin anyway for lower cholesterol, despite the fact that her cholesterol was not abnormal in any way. When we assessed her, what we found was a low red blood cell magnesium. And low magnesium will cause those vessels to spasm, as you know, Dr. Gaby. And that was determined to be the cause of the heart attack. She went back to the very famous medical center and asked why they didn't assess. And the cardiologist said, yeah, we know that magnesium is important, but no, you know, we didn't do the assessment. So this young woman had been scared for the rest of her life, feeling like she was a walking heart attack victim until we got the nutrition straight. I do want to say, people, if you've just turned in, we're having a wonderful discussion with Dr. Alan Gaby. We're talking about making sense of nutritional studies, and they were brought to you by Village Green Apothecary. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more information from Dr. Alan Gaby.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet, our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow-affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals. Committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
Put a little more jingle in your pocket by taking advantage of Village Green Apothecary's big year-end sale. From now until the end of 2010, you can save 35% off Pathway Nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Give the gift of good health to the people you care about and stock up on healthy living essentials for yourself, too. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane or on the web at myvillagegreen.com. Or just give us a jingle at 301-530-0800.
Welcome back to today's final segment of the Essentials of Healthy Living on 1500 AM, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda, Maryland. I'm Dana Lake, and I alternate the show with Dr. Kevin Pissarro. We're here every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., and next week, Kevin will talk about nutritional approaches to effective weight loss. The show is streamed through myvillagegreen.com, and you can visit the site to hear previous radio shows. A final reminder about Village Green's big winter sale, now until December 31st. Make sure you take advantage. 35% off Pathway products, 25% off all other supplements, and 20% off body care products. Now, we've been talking about making sense of nutritional studies with Dr. Alan Gaby. This has been a fascinating discussion of how you look behind the headlines and evaluate whether that headline is accurate or not. And our final subject is going to be vitamin D, because this has been quite controversial, and we're going to add to that controversy with more information. So let's talk about vitamin D, Dr. Gaby.
Okay, well, there's no question that a lot of people in modern society need extra vitamin D. We don't go outside as much as we used to. We slather on sunscreen within 2 microseconds of going outside, because the dermatology community has scared us into thinking that any sunlight exposure is harmful. So there are a lot of people with marginal and occasionally even severe vitamin D deficiency. In addition to leading to osteoporosis, it can increase the risk of older people falling down. There's some evidence that it is related to immune function and preventing infections, and various other potential benefits. So I think that people should get outside some, and if they're not getting outside, they should take a vitamin D supplement. Based on my review of the research, and it's a very complicated area. In my textbook, Nutritional Medicine, which has 342 chapters, vitamin D was the last one that I wrote because it's the most complicated. But what I've concluded from looking at as much research as I can is that 400 units a day of vitamin D is not sufficient to achieve the benefits in most adults. 800 to 1,200 units a day is sufficient to achieve a benefit. And where the controversy comes in is whether larger doses are beneficial or necessary or desirable or safe. And although I have been a frequent proponent of mega nutrient therapy, large doses of vitamins and minerals, I actually side in this situation with the Institute of Medicine that says that about 800 to 1,200 units a day is sufficient. And there's no clear evidence now that very large doses, such as above 2,000 a day, there's no clear evidence that that's safe for long-term use, and there's no clear evidence that it's effective or necessary. One of the reasons that people have been talking about using large doses is they've looked at observational studies where people who have high blood levels of vitamin D, in this case measured as 25-hydroxyvitamin D, which is the standard blood test. People that have higher levels have less mortality, less heart disease, less cancer, all that stuff. But that does not necessarily mean that pushing the level up with a vitamin D supplement is going to help. There are many factors that lead to vitamin D levels other than true vitamin D status. For example, people with inflammation, the level goes down. So 25-hydroxyvitamin D is a measure of inflammation. And when you say that people with high levels have better health, that may just mean that people with less inflammation have better health. In addition, vitamin D levels correlate very closely with certain steroid hormone levels in the body. And so it may just mean that people who have better hormone levels have better health, and it may have nothing to do with vitamin D. So in order to determine whether high-dose vitamin D is actually necessary and beneficial, you've got to do randomized controlled trials where you compare higher doses to lower doses. And so far, although the evidence is still preliminary, the research supports the idea that lower doses are more effective than higher doses. And I know that's something that a lot of your listeners have not heard, but I'll give you a couple examples. They did a study this year, osteoporosis prevention study in postmenopausal women. They compared 800 units a day of vitamin D with 6,500 units a day of vitamin D. In both groups, there was an increase in bone mineral density, but the increase was greater with 800 units a day than with 6,500 units a day. Another study came out this year, multiple sclerosis. People who had multiple sclerosis were given either about 13,000 units a day or 1,000 units a day of vitamin D, And the outcome was worse with 13,000 than it was with 1,000. Finally, I'll mention a cancer prevention study where they looked at women. They gave them both vitamin D and calcium, and there was no effect overall on cancer. But when you stratify it according to whether or not the women were taking vitamin D on their own, they were allowed to in this study. Women who were not taking any vitamin D on their own, if they were randomized to receive vitamin D in the study, they had actually less cancer. But when you look at the women who were taking vitamin D on their own, when they were randomized to take vitamin D, they actually had more cancer than those who got the placebo. So although not all of these findings were statistically significant, they raise the possibility that moderate doses are beneficial and that large doses actually might negate the beneficial effect of moderate doses and might even be harmful. Now, that's an interim conclusion, and there are certainly situations where people should be on large doses of vitamin D, such as people with malabsorption, Crohn's disease, for example. In addition, we have to be aware of racial and ethnic differences. Observational studies in Caucasians show that low vitamin D levels are associated with more fractures. But in African Americans and Asians, surprisingly, low vitamin D levels are associated with protection against fractures. Now, I don't know why that is, but there are clearly genetic differences between various subsets of the human population, and we've got to be very careful with this idea of pushing and pushing and pushing the dose of vitamin D up until you get a blood level that someone told you is good for you.
Very well described, and as you note, there's still a lot of controversy with the subject. Do you have a very brief tip for our listeners? They have a lot of takeaway today with what you've said, but perhaps you have a final tip.
Well, if someone is otherwise healthy, and I recommend people go outside and stay uncovered for 10 or 15 minutes before you put on the sunscreen. There is evidence that sunlight is more beneficial for you than vitamin D supplements, because there are a lot of things that sunlight do besides making vitamin D. So go outside some. Don't go out so much that you give yourself skin cancer. If you need to take a vitamin D supplement, the average recommended dose, and everybody's different, you should talk to your doctor. I typically recommend 800 to 1,200 units a day. And then if you're going to consider higher doses than that, you need to keep in mind what I said and talk to your doctor about whether you think that's appropriate.
Good advice, good advice. And a reminder, the Nutritional Medicine Textbook by Dr. Gaby, and I want to give you the website, www.drgaby.com. And we hope to have you back on the show again. You're always fascinating.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
And it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure talking to you, Dr. Gaby. And I do want to thank you, listeners, for joining us on the Essentials of Healthy Living here on 1500 AM. And a reminder that you can access this show or any of the previous shows through myvillagegreen.com. We've had a great discussion on making sense of nutritional studies with Alan Gaby, and if you want to hear this again, you can tune in to Village Green, myvillagegreen.com, and you can listen to this radio show again or any of the radio shows that we have produced. And I want to say to you, please remember, it's not the number of breaths you take, it's the moments that take your breath away. This is Dana Lake and Village Green wishing each and every one of you good health and a breathtaking day.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.